And then we're randomly actually introduced to Jeremiah now.
Yes.
We're like 30 minutes into this.
We've seen him before. Welcome to Super True Stories. We suffer through and report back on the worst and weirdest documentaries you can stream. I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt. And this podcast might not be haunted, but it might be haunted.
You never know.
There's no way to know.
How could you possibly know?
Who knows?
Certainly not the people behind the film Whispers of the Unseen.
They have no clue.
They don't seem to have much of a clue, and I certainly don't feel any more knowledgeable for having watched this.
I knew within a minute and 38 seconds that I had to subject you to it.
I was not prepared for what this turned out to be.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for everyone.
No, let's run through it. And I wanted to start by sharing the Amazon Prime Video description of Whispers of the Unseen. Group of filmmakers investigate and document their experience at the Whispering Cottage located in Mineral Wells, Texas. Not even a group, just group. Group of filmmakers.
I think as we learned pretty early into this, Jeremiah, who is one of the four characters in this, he struggles with words with great regularity.
Yeah, that seems to be a continuing thing. We get that this is a cryptic light productions film in association with Bearded VFX. And I only mention that because we're going to be told it multiple times.
Right.
There's a bunch of creepy whispers and no context clues for what the hell these people are talking about.
No, it just sort of starts midway through what's going on and continues like that for like 13 minutes.
In the first like minute and a half, I was convinced that you had found a documentary for us that was solely about creepy haunted dolls.
We're told that this documentary takes place in the second most haunted home in Texas. I fully expected it to be like a totally doll-based haunted house.
Yes, on Wednesday, March 27th, 2019, quote-unquote, Troy, Ashley, and myself.
Right, because we know who myself is.
Investigated this house.
What begged a question here for me is this is the second most haunted home in Texas, which made me wonder, is there a U.S. News ranking of haunted houses?
There may well be.
Then what's the metric used to measure the most hauntedness? Is it the number of ghosts? The size of ghosts? The scariness? Or is it the creepiness of the dolls in the house?
Those are fair questions, but I have a theory.
Okay.
I think that the most haunted house in Texas actually looks scary. There is nothing creepy about this house.
I think it's like a Cape Cod or a bungalow, maybe.
It's the least creepy kind of home architecture, whatever it is.
It's painted the light gray and it has cute little red chairs sitting out front and a well-manicured lawn. There's nothing about this house really inside or out that would tip you off.
And that stays the case. There's titles that come over that say, this is our story, The Whispering Cottage. That's not the name of this.
Right.
The first person that we actually meet is Troy Romo. He's the lead investigator, and he says that this isn't as drastic of a haunting as some he's been to. You're spoiling this, Troy.
We haven't even started.
Their evidence that they show us, and this is all in this like first 3 minute introductory clip, is they have an exercise ball sized ball on a hardwood floor, and when they put it in the middle of the room, the ball doesn't stay completely still.
This house was built in 1926, so I'm sure it's still plumb. Like, it's T-squared up, right up there. There's no dips in the foundation. And this ball, I'm sure, has been engineered to be perfectly spherical.
Troy even admits that, well, maybe the floor could be crooked, but that's not it, because in some places on the floor, the ball won't move.
That's how it works. That's simple physics, Troy. Have you been in a house before?
Well, we're 3 minutes in, and it's time for a reminder that this is a cryptic light productions film in association with Bearded VFX, because we haven't been told that for 3 minutes.
Right.
And then here they get the title right, Whispers of the Unseen, but they add Voices of the Night.
Out of nowhere.
This thing has like three damn titles.
I again, we're just thrust into the action and we're hearing this voice, I'm putting that in air quotes, coming out of some sort of electronic device that's allegedly saying, do not go.
Quite clearly and repeated in the exact same way. These are the clearest EVPs I have ever heard. Almost as if they are fake.
Oh, weird. Wow.
I didn't learn much from this documentary, but I learned a few things all on my own thanks to Google, because I was like, they're not explaining this shit. I'm going to go digging. I have some technology explanations for you as we go. I think it's going to illuminate a few things.
That would be a first for this documentary. They're like pushing this ball into the other room and the ball just goes in the other room and sits there. Then randomly Troy comes out of a closet. At first I thought he was coming out of the bathroom and they start asking him if he saw himself smile.
And Jeremiah says,
dude, when I was doing it, bro, my face was morphing.
That is all it took for me to not like Jeremiah.
Jeremiah struggles at this point to explain what this room is called that they're going into.
What me and Troy call a psychedelic room or a psychomanic room, whatever, they call it something different.
He is not the lead investigator, but he is an investigator. And we get this footage of the door and it's labeled psychomantium room. Right. Jeremiah does not know that word, even though he's an investigator into all this.
Apparently in this room, there's a mirror that faces the door and then a mirror on the door. So you sit between these two mirrors and you put a tea light, which is another word that Jeremiah struggles with.
And you take a teacup candle or whatever they call it.
You put a tea light, which is like a little flickering candle on the ground and it flickers and you look in the mirror and apparently things are supposed to happen.
Yes, he says that suddenly like the structure of his face would change and his expression would change and he'd move and then the reflection wouldn't be moving at the same speed. And I wrote down, what an amazing thing to have captured on camera.
Right?
Oh, wait, you didn't bring the fucking camera in with you, did you, Jeremiah?
He's acting out the faces, much to my hilarity. And he's drops about 40 F-bombs in his description of it.
I was just seeing it fucking just morph into different things, and I was like, this is cool as fuck.
These two mirrors facing each other create a paranormal, supernatural portal. But then he was excited about all of this, and so he shouted, and Troy opened the door and broke the spell.
Now, we've already seen footage of Troy coming out of the room.
Yeah, we see this like five times.
This is a 44-minute documentary, and we're going to see at least three times Troy's experience in this room.
Troy gets in there and thinks it's creepy and basically gets the hell out of there. And Jeremiah talks about how he found it really interesting, but Troy didn't like it because people are different.
Wow, deep thought.
We also learn, I thought, a very key piece of information about Troy. Troy, the lead investigator, doesn't like dark places.
Just to recap, we are told what's going to happen with Troy. We see what happens with Troy in terms of he goes in and he comes out. Then Jeremiah explains what happened to Troy. And then Troy explains it again. All of this for a 20-second interaction.
Imagine if something had actually happened.
Then suddenly they're randomly talking to a flashlight in the pantry.
In the dark.
Which Troy is scared of.
Troy puts his meter on an empty shelf and says, are you scared of us? Did you make the man here kill himself? And there are no answers. And then Ashley has a Ouija board out and asks it, do you like this house? And nothing moves or happens.
I feel like there's no possible way that we could make a worse movie than this.
No.
For starters, the Ouija board thing, you're never supposed to use it just by yourself. That's like the first rule of Ouija board. But two, it doesn't move. Nothing creepy happens. And then she just stops and like scratches the back of her head and then puts her hands back on it. Okay.
We also have Jeremiah dangling a crystal from a chain.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He's asking this questions. Do I have the power to harm you? Do you think I want to harm you? And the crystal steadily moves back and forth on this chain, and I swear you can see his arm twitching to make the crystal move.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we learned from this weighing.
I'm not sure what we learned from any of this.
Nothing.
The next person that we're introduced to is Bridget Perry, who is the person renting to own the property. Bridget says that the house was built in 1926. She says that there are 9 spirits that they know of that come and go from this house. Sometimes it's 11, sometimes it's 4. So it's not really 9.
No, it's everything but 9, apparently.
There's a portal in the house, so they come in, and she says that in the very room that they're filming, there's 2 demons in that room that came in, and now they're stuck, and she says this is the occult room, and we learn why it's the occult room, because she's decorated it that way.
This is the only room that has any sort of decor, by the way, and much of the decor is creepy dolls.
Yes.
I was really hoping for a creepy doll movie.
Well, we do get a few moments of creepy doll, because the next thing that she talks about is this doll named Alice. Bridget says that she didn't know that the doll had a spirit attached to it, so she brought the doll into this house and thought that the spirit that she saw with it was from the house, but nope, it turns out that it's from Alice.
And she says, come to find out, it was a spirit that's attached. Come to find out from whom and how. How did you find this out? This made-up piece of information.
Well, more made-up information. Alice sits in a doll room with an entity of some sort named Lily, which is supposedly attached to this ball. Lily is 8 feet tall. She says there's also Steven, and then we get footage of Troy walking through the house trying to track down Steven. He's got this camera on him.
Steven, are you in there? With this device, we can see you.
I thought, how cool that they're able to capture footage of him with this magic camera. Oh, wait.
Nope.
Troy goes to the bathroom, and we see stick figures on his camera.
Yeah.
And this is the first piece of technology that I researched.
Okay, good. I'm excited.
You should be.
Ooh.
This thing is called a structured light sensor. And so the software sees people by recognizing joints and movement. This thing is people hacking Xbox Kinect gaming technology.
Oh my God.
So skeptics,
we don't know any of those,
will point out that the Kinect is constantly trying to find skeletal figures so that it can use movement to control a game. It is actively trying to paint skeletons on everything all the time.
Oh my God.
The Kinect's algorithm gets tricked by things like shadows and light patterns and movement. It's worth mentioning all of this because Troy is standing with a window behind him, projecting his shadow into this bathroom where this camera is stitching on a stick figure on his shadow on the shower curtain. Proof that there's a ghost in this room.
Wow. I am impressed with your level of research. Dear listener, you normally get nothing from our podcast, but today you're getting an education.
But it's about something so fucking stupid.
Again, our podcast, that's our brand.
Oh, it sure is. Troy and Ashley reassure the ghost when they see that it's standing by the shower and kind of moving its arms. It's making this like jerky spasmodic motion. They decide that what this means is that the ghost is embarrassed.
Because it's naked.
It's like covering itself like it just got out of the shower.
Yeah, like it's naked. We can't see that you're naked, so it's okay.
Then we get Lily and the ball. I think having explained what that camera actually is now, this makes a lot more sense. They go in this room, and they have this ball, and they note that Lily is an elemental who's never had physical form, but somehow manifests as a skeleton.
Duh. But wait, I thought she was 6 or 8 feet tall.
She's an 8 foot tall elemental.
Oh.
When they bounce this ball, they see a figure on the ball. Now, the figure only fills the space within the ball, which again, if you've got something that's looking for movement and trying to paint skeletons on things, the stick figure is on the ball, but they say that she's riding it.
The 8 foot tall elemental is only in the space of this like 2.5 foot ball.
And as soon as the ball stops moving, there's nothing there.
Nothing ever appears when the ball is still.
And when Troy moves his arm in to touch the ball, it tries to start painting his skeleton into that skeleton. Like it's recognizing, oh, that's a limb. But they say that that's Lily trying to reach out to him.
And even Troy sounds kind of skeptical of that. He's like, oh, really? Yeah.
Speaking of Oh Really, they're in this room that has all these surveillance cameras attached to this big monitor, and they start to talk about how they see weird shadows in one of the rooms that the surveillance camera is monitoring.
Actually, you know what I think that is?
It's the headlights.
I think it's the headlights.
Paranormal investigators!
Ashley also at this point that says that she's not superstitious, she's just a little stitious. Which she doesn't actually say, but...
She gets close to it near the end.
And she's just randomly now is starting to talk about her expectations for when she went to this house. She expected not much to happen, and she was right.
And then we cut back upstairs with Troy again in the dark. Oh, brave Troy, asking more questions and getting no answers, including...
What was your favorite beer?
What was your favorite beer? And the ghost screams back, Corona! Good night, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Just kidding. There's no response to any of it. Thankfully, they filmed all of it, because if they didn't film all of the nothing happening, there wouldn't be a documentary.
Right. This is just complete nothing, but not even like interesting nothing.
No.
Literally nothing. And then we're randomly actually introduced to Jeremiah now.
Yes.
We're like 30 minutes into this.
We've seen him before.
Multiple times.
We've watched interview talking head titled footage with him before. 27 minutes in.
I'm Jeremiah Bright. Come up here to Whispering College to do a Whispering Cottage to do an investigation. I had a lot of high expectations for this place. No, I wasn't expecting it like windows to be breaking or poltergeists to appearing. I wasn't expecting that kind of stuff, but I was expecting some sort of activity. And did get quite a few things that were unexplainable. Can't really explain it. Caught it on camera. Even certain feelings I have. I felt like there's a presence here. Other than that, like, did it meet my expectations? In some parts it did, in some parts it didn't.
What the fuck is happening? It's too late in the documentary for him to be introducing himself and saying what he hopes to see, but it's too early to be wrapping up how it all went.
Because we're only like a little more than halfway through.
Right? So I guess if somebody talks about both, you just stick the full clip in the middle?
Why not? But this is where we find out a critical piece of information, in my opinion.
Oh my God. You heard me reacting to this.
This is the point in the documentary where we learn that these tools are provided to them by the owner of the home.
Fog machines, magic herbs, EMF readers, ghost boxes, sensors, laser emitters. The security system is already in place to monitor the rooms. And that's when I was like, this is starting to sound like an ad for this place. Oh my God, this is a haunted house bed and breakfast.
It totally is. This is what it is. We're back to Ashley giving her review of this house.
I loved this so much. She says,
there wasn't maybe like one big moment, but maybe more like a few medium moments.
Medium moments, get it?
I don't know if she intended it.
She did not intend it. She didn't get it either.
Nope.
Ashley says the only physical thing that she experienced was the sound of a door slamming. So hopefully there'll be some footage to explain that. And apparently there's not, because we just cut away and never reference it again.
And there's 8 minutes left and I hate the rest of my life.
Jeremiah says that he'd like to think the place is haunted, which I think is Jeremiah's truest statement.
Yes.
We also get this long stream of conscious, unedited monologue from Jeremiah, where he talks about how he's not really comfortable saying that the house is haunted, but he's also not comfortable saying it's not haunted.
Right.
So he might have to come back maybe another time, maybe another two times. He just rambles.
He felt a presence here, but he really feels a presence everywhere he goes.
I can feel that there's a presence here. I feel that, but... Sometimes, like, I can feel it everywhere I go if it has something, but sometimes I have to sit there and stop and think, okay, is it just my mind making me think I'm feeling a presence?
Go with that feeling, Jeremiah. The last thing we see of Troy is they're reviewing the security cam footage again on this monitor, and Troy is pointing at nothing and saying, it's getting really, really mad. Nothing is happening.
Nothing. Nothing. It could be a still photo for all that's happening.
The last we hear of Ashley is her saying that she thinks that it's haunted, but by nice ghosts.
Oh, that's so sweet, Ashley. And then we get to watch them fill out the guest book.
As the creepy rockabye music comes back on that they used at the very beginning, you know that there's few things more obviously creepy than lullaby music played off key.
Well, people are filling out a guest book.
It's the guest book of the damned.
Oh, they're flipping the pages in the guest book. And is there going to be like a page where there's like a bloody handprint? No, it's just, thank you, Bridget, for the lovely stay.
I wanted to know if you caught a couple things.
Okay.
Jeremiah mentions the sleeping arrangements.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
He says that he was on one couch and Troy and Ashley were on the other.
Oh.
The only reason that I'm mentioning this is because when they go to leave the house, we see them all depart with their luggage. And Troy comes out first and he's carrying next to nothing. But Ashley comes out carrying like three times as much stuff as Troy.
I did notice that.
Maybe I've lived in the South too long, but it's egregious to begin with, but particularly if that's your girlfriend, what the fuck, Troy?
Right.
He's got like a backpack, like a grocery store plastic bag with a couple things in it and a water bottle. And Ashley comes out with like a backpack, both arms completely full, barely able to make it down the stairs. And Troy's just like marching off into the bright future while his Sherpa girlfriend behind him is toting all his shit.
And no one will be seated as they watch them leave this very pleasant-looking home.
But we're not quite done yet.
Nope.
During the credits, Jeremiah, apropos to nothing, is talking about how a couple weeks earlier he was on an investigation and he had some tea lights out, and then he realized that the smoke was looking like grim reapers. And then one skeletal arm reached out towards him as it was floating away. And then it just fades out in the middle of him talking, and that's the end.
Yep, the end.
Are you ready, Jamie?
For?
What did you learn? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
I am going to take a new twist on what I learned, and I would like to see if I can learn something about you. If you were a ghost, what object would you haunt?
I don't know. The first thing that came to mind was a doll.
I mean, that's low-hanging fruit. Their dolls can be super creepy, as evidenced by an entire room in my mom's house.
Yes. Is it an object or a place?
Whatever sort of gets your spirit moving.
Oh, I see what you did there. The next thing that comes to mind is like a TJ Maxx or something.
Just to give people like creepy feels while they're at TJ Maxx.
Yeah, just like randomly breaking things and shoving stuff around and sending chills up people's spines.
Oh, so my second question is, what creepy ghost thing would you do? There was the ghost Lily who would like attach to a ball. That's not that creepy. You know, what sort of creepy ghost thing would you do?
I think that I would be wanting to like manifest in mirrors.
Ooh, yeah, I like it.
I think that's legit creepy.
And would you be like a bloody ghost? Would you look like a person or would you be like see-through like the ghost from the Haunted Mansion?
I kind of think that in this day and age, there's not really anything much scarier than a middle-aged, mediocre, slightly overweight white male. So I might just go with myself.
That's fair.
What would you do?
I would do like the creepy wind that kind of goes behind you where you think you hear something. Like, I think I would do door slamming and like weird noises in the house that you can't figure out. Is that the house settling? I would probably want to ramp up my ghostliness. You move into the house and you're like, oh, it's a beautiful house. And then you're like slowly freaked out by the ghost. And I would fully be the Haunted Mansion, semi-transparent ghost.
Yeah, that's a good look.
Yeah.
I'm kind of changing my answer as I think more about this.
That's fair.
I kind of think that I would haunt someone's iPhone. Someone with a really good, like, 5G connection. That way you could scare somebody and you could still have full internet access.
I like it.
Having an eternity to fill without the internet seems like my idea of hell. I mean.
Right? Let's be honest. This is sort of a practice run, this whole quarantine situation for like being stuck in one home.
Yeah.
Because isn't that sort of the deal with the people in Beetlejuice? Like, they can't leave.
Yeah, they can't leave the grounds, right?
Yeah. We've had practice at this. I think we would be good ghosts based on this dry run.
I don't know if we would be good ghosts, but we would be good at being ghosts.
How about you? What did you learn?
I learned something about this documentary.
Okay.
Does it surprise you to know that the director of this documentary is Jeremiah?
No. It seems as disjointed as you might expect this man to be.
I wondered if you might entertain me reading select highlights from his biography on IMDb.
Oh, yes.
In his short 2 years of filming, he has gained a reputation as if he has been doing it for years. Filmmaking is where he found his passion to be a writer, director, actor, cinematographer, and even an editor. He loves to do it all. He loves to do it, but should he do it?
He should not. Just because you can doesn't mean you should, which might be the overarching message of Super True Stories.
I'm going to take it the exact opposite direction.
Okay.
If you feel like there is something holding you back, this is absolute proof. You can write without understanding grammar. You can speak without knowing words. You can create a movie without knowing what a movie even is.
Right.
You're not going to make anything worse than this.
You are right. This is an inspiring message, but I'm going to make a little connection here. We watched that first episode of the Mandalorian docuseries.
Yes.
A couple of the people who are involved with the show talk about how, like, they had this moment when they were teenagers where they realized that they wanted to do this for the rest of their lives. They set an absurd goal. I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous for any individual to say, I am going to become an animator for Star Wars. But they just, like, doggedly pursue it. And I was sitting there thinking, like, is that the thing that sets me apart from having success? That I'm not doggedly pursuing this thing. But I think this documentary and your lesson teaches me that, no, you can doggedly pursue that and still fucking suck at it.
Well, yes. I didn't say that the result at the end of the day was going to be that you would make anything good.
If the bar is better than this, go for it.
Well, someone that has set the bar much higher than this is Tomb Dragomir, the creator of our theme song, which is Mexicana Massacre off of his album Instrumental Psycho Synth.
Thank you, Tomb.
And if you'd like to hear some podcasts from folks who are definitely producing things at a higher caliber than this documentary, we recommend our friends at 6 Foot Plus for music and The Projection Booth for a much more serious, in-depth exploration of film.
And if you feel so inclined, and we encourage you to be so inclined, I may haunt you if you do not, please leave a review for us. Tell your friends about our podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Super2Story or on Facebook at Super2Stories and have some dialogue with us. We'd love to hear from you. And again, I will haunt you if you do not.
Yes. And if you do reach out to us, you can feel free to use your spooky voice.
Yes.
Yes.
Also, if you get a tea light and put it under your face and make a video that shows the creepy light flickering on your face, that will get you a free pass. No future hauntings if you do that. That's like a lifetime guarantee. Will not haunt you.
It's an afterlife guarantee.
It is. TM. Thank you all for listening. We love our fans.
We sure do. And on that note, we'll be back at you in a couple weeks with a new episode. Until then, I'm Dave Hunt.
And I am Jamie Hunt.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sort of discovered for myself, not saying discovered for everybody to use, but for myself anyways, we went on an investigation last weekend, something like that, or a week, 2 weeks ago, I think 2 weeks ago, and I was outside in the backyard and had like one of those little tiny LED lights that are about as big as a little bit bigger than these tea light candles, whatever, and it just emitted enough light where I was like, you know what,
I'm just going to hold my cigarette over it like this at an angle so I could see, like, I was covering the light with my hand, but enough where I could see the smoke. And the smoke was doing a lot of weird stuff. It was dancing, like, it would come up nice and, like, enchanting is what I could call. Like, it was like I was watching, like, a snake charmer's snake, how it comes up. And then it was just making these weird images. Like, it looked like a lot of Grim Reapers, like in a cloak, and they would just float off. And then one distinctively reached out, like the skeleton arm. I saw the hand and everything, like, reached out as it was, like floating away from me. And then the smoke would, like, go back and then shoot back this way. It would, like go build up, like, travel up my arm and shoot back. And then I'm like, wow, this is so cool. Like, it was just...